This episode of NadPod is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Need an example? Well, here you go. I can go to Squarespace right now and buy the domain name eggdevil.com. Once I have this, I can easily set up an online shop to sell PDFs of all my various deviled egg recipes. My favorite is one I've been working on for a few years that I like to call Dante's Eggferno. It's a perfect recreation of the circles of hell described in Dante's Divine Comedy, but made entirely of eggs, Dijon mustard, mayonnaise, and of course, my devilishly good proprietary spice blend. The best thing about Squarespace, though, is that it makes checkout absolutely seamless for my hungry customers by using simple but powerful payment tools. With Squarespace, you can accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay. And in certain eligible countries, you can offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So if you're ready to make your own egg devil's bargain and jump into the world of online business, head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That is 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain at squarespace.com/pawpaw. Egg hell yeah. Thanks for listening, folks.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, fighters and shellcasters alike.
Ooh!
Thank you for tuning in to The Turtle Tank, the show where wise investment turtles review and invest in your homebrew pitches. As always, we've got Brian Murphy, the no turtles turtle.
I'm not here to chortle.
Emily Axford, the epitome of tortitude.
Splish, splash, let's make some cash.
Whoa. Caldwell Tanner, the tortoise who puts fun furthest.
When you're with me, you'll never tail.
What?
What?
You'll is never, that a like... threat?
Because turtles have little tails.
Don't tail anyone.
They have little tails.
Don't tail anyone.
And until I heard that, I was Jake the Good Sport Tort. And without further ado, let's get wet. Our first hatchling writes.
This is so fun heavy. It's gotten worse every episode.
No, I hard disagree. It's getting better and better.
I agreed.
Yeah, just more and more friction added to the intro. I love it.
I love imagining the person sitting next to me on my flight here reading. Oh, this man's a writer.
I wonder if he's a screenwriter. Maybe he's writing a book.
I was going to say, this is our first time doing it in person and getting to see Jake do that intro was its own special experience.
Right.
And so now I'm picturing the person not only reading it over your shoulder, but watching you mouth and practice it.
Just deleting puns and putting in new ones.
Ignoring.
I practice it very loud in the galley. May I do this for the pilot? All right, our hatchling JB writes, Hola Tortugas. I DM for a player who refuses to play anything other than Aarakocra or Avian. Mm-hmm. Considering the amount of challenges and puzzles that can be circumvented by flying, this is where my idea comes in. I present to you my very own homebrew flying rules. During combat, fly speed is determined by an athletics check, DC 5 through 9 equals 5 feet, DC 10 through 14 equals 10 feet, etc. Outside of combat, long distance flying is determined with a con save, with a chance of acquiring a level of exhaustion. I'm asking for an investment of 10,000 gold plus 30% of Jake's soul, for expanding and disseminating these rules. P.S. I think you should store your eggs in a fortified bank and call it Tort Knox. Okay. So that's another idea for free.
I'm interested in buying the pun, but yeah. The rest of it I feel like could just be a lot easier if you just talk to them.
If you just force them to not play a freaking
bird. Can I pitch the idea of a conversation?
Yeah. Just like talk to them. Actually, what you're going to want to do is just show your friend the word count of all the notes that you write for each session.
How much work you are sweetly putting into trying to work with them.
Some people log their hours at work. Some people have a time card. Mm-hmm. I think you need to start having a time card for your leisure. And then you just show this to your friend.
If this were D&D court, I would say, tell your player to just play a freaking elf. But this is the Turtle Tank. So yeah, let's talk about the business idea.
Yes, right. That's true.
Now, trying to solve the flight problem, I get it. Because flight is a problem. Like, people playing Aarakocras are jumping over castle walls.
That's actually, it's an opportunity.
They're hopping up mountains.
There is a need. There's a need. There's a problem that it should be addressed.
It is interesting because it does, you don't want to take things away from players. So you don't want to, like, right off the bat, if somebody's excited about flying, you don't necessarily want to completely take that off the table, even though I would, because I'm no fun at all. So I like the idea of just making flying kind of harder, but I don't know that this is it.
This does add a lot of roles.
Yeah.
Which is like, I feel like some subclasses will add a lot of roles, and it's kind of fun because they come up occasionally. I'm thinking of, like, you know, like wild magic. Mm-hmm. That's fun to spice things up every once in a while. But like, this person is going to want to fly a lot. So there's going to be a lot of athletics checks.
You know what? It was sort of the differentiation between the two things that kind of bumped me. That's kind of overcomplicated. It's like the one thing is an athletics check and the other thing is a con save.
And well, it's like sprinting versus long distance. I can get behind that.
Well, I know technically they're two different things, but I think for D&D, maybe we don't need to do both things.
Right, yeah. And also, like, these creatures come with a fly speed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So to basically be like, the book says this, but I'm actually going to make you slower. And, like, that's the reason this person chooses to play the aerocopter.
Right, but they might.
The solution can't be, like, making that person's choice worse.
I think it could, because I think aerocopters are kind of broken.
Really?
I mean... Imagine all of the challenges that we've done in campaigns 1, 2, and 3 that you could have bypassed at level 1 by just, like, going up a mountain or, like, going over a wall or flying away.
What's the other lowest level flying ability? Like, there's a spell.
Druid.
And
I
what?
Guess wild shaping. What level would you need to get to?
To get flying, I think you need to get to level 10. I might be totally wrong about that. I think you get swim speed at level 4. And flying not till later than that.
Okay. So yeah, so players starting at level 1 being able to fly.
Flying is a level 3 spell, right? Mm-hmm. Fly?
Yeah.
Okay. And then
this is a lot of pressure, Murph. Keeps I'm just like grilling Emily. I'm like, oh fuck.
I will say we're sitting in a room.
We should do a game show.
We're sitting in a room where Jake and Caldwell have computers in front of them, but I'm looking at Emily and asking when.
Honestly,
people get
I wouldn't
spells,
even know what to Google.
What to look for. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want me to stop playing Final Fantasy 14 around the door?
It is quite loud, and I think
really
that music's copyrighted.
Thank
you. But wizards wouldn't get fly for a while. Wild shaping druids wouldn't get fly for a while. So I get the idea of, let's simplify it maybe, athletics check to fly, and then you can only go for a certain amount of time. I'm not super opposed to it.
I'm not opposed to it. I think, though, that unfortunately the solution for this is if you have a puzzle or a situation that you know is going to be complicated by flying, I think the more fun thing as a player is going to be put obstacles in the sky.
Yeah.
Put aggressive birds in the sky. Put clouds you can't see through.
Put aggressive birds in the clouds.
Aggressive clouds. Clouds with teeth.
Birds are vulnerable. There's a reason they don't rule the earth now, you know?
Yeah.
They can fly.
They gave it a shot.
But fucking you, Jake.
We're better than them, right?
Right? We could kick most birds' asses. Let's face it. I could 1v1. I could 1v1 most birds.
No,
Murph could take out any bird with any
most birds. Most birds, yes.
This is what birds do. They peck out your eyes and then they fly into the sky where
you can't. I'm not talking about
them. Birds eat my fucking french fries when I'm at McDonald's. That's what birds do.
You can 1v1, that's an explained Jake in his fucking croissant.
He didn't want to kill that bird.
That was a
croissant. He didn't want to kill that bird.
That was a swarm.
That bird didn't kill him. That bird killed the croissant. Jake could kick a bird's ass.
I could kick a bird. Thank you, Murph.
Why didn't you?
I was afraid! Because I was afraid it would hurt my fingers.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're all just a little scared, but if push came to shove,
if those birds were eating Jill the way Tucker does, I would step in.
You'd step in and kill a bird.
Just perfect beak.
What do you think the DC would be, Merv, to swing a baseball bat and hit a bird?
Jesus Christ.
Pretty high.
Pretty high, I think. But here's the thing. Birds generally aren't going to swoop down and try to kick your ass. Generally.
Right. Because they know.
Because they know not to fuck with you.
Yeah, just
they
like know, one good roundhouse kick and they're done.
Because they know I could 1v1 most of them.
Right.
I have my finger up. Most of them.
There's an asterisk there.
Yeah.
He knows he can't take a cassowary, folks.
Thank you. And all you in the comments being like, a falcon would kick Murph's ass. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm talking about most birds.
Right.
I think I could beat up a woodpecker. Falcons can soup dive at like 200 miles per hour.
And it would kill me. I agree.
It would go into your head.
I'll kill a mockingbird.
Out the other side.
I could kick a mockingbird's ass.
Falcons, there's a reason there's falconers, you know? Yeah. Those are majestic birds.
But most birds. A peacock could beat the shit out of you. A turkey.
Get out of here. A turkey could not. I could beat up a turkey.
Yeah, why do you think that we kill them on Thanksgiving?
Because we know they come for us.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Because they have a holiday where they eat us.
Yeah.
And we just can't let them celebrate it.
And I know
we have to get to them first.
And I know there's people out here with turkey facts. I'm not saying these guys wouldn't do some damage. I'm saying if it was me and Turkey in a room, I'm walking out of that room bloody and alive.
Mm-hmm. With a turkey leg in my damn mouth.
I'd pay fucking money. I'd pay pay-per-view money to see that fight too. It's like you got your first match. You're like the card event of that WWE
that
Raw.
That should be a Thanksgiving tradition.
Next SummerSlam, it's just Murph versus a turkey.
Unless there's turkey facts that I don't really don't know about, it'd be quick.
Here's the thing. They can fire a gun.
Oh, yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Well, if we're both unarmed.
Okay.
Okay, anyway.
If you got turkey facts, keep them in your gobbler, folks.
Yeah, keep them in your gobbler, guys.
This is a turkey fact. They're most likely tougher.
I just said keep them in your gobbler.
I Googled how strong are turkeys.
You're letting it out of your gobbler. We're going to allow it just this time.
They're most likely tougher and faster than you. Some wild turkeys can hit 20 miles per hour when running at full speed.
Yeah.
So a turkey running into your knee at 20 miles per hour could
It would have to hit my knee. I'd be too quick.
Yeah, I'd freaking dodge.
I'd freaking dodge.
Okay.
I'd freaking juke it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, sidestep it.
See, I'm fully with Murph on this.
My legs.
Because I've mentioned this before. I maintain that without any training, I could complete a marathon. I would not do a good job.
Well, you could walk.
I would probably hurt myself really badly, but I could do it. And I think that this logic applies to a turkey fight. Where like, absolutely, I'm probably going to lose an eye, but like, I could destroy the bird.
We don't know. We just don't know enough about turkeys.
We just don't know.
There's people out there. There's just,
they're too mysterious.
Ornithologists.
Never know enough about turkeys.
We'll never know enough because we're not going
to
look it up again.
Because we keep trying to fight them as opposed to loving them.
We're going to keep it in our gobblers and move on.
Yeah.
So I think ultimately, I think this is a courageous business. I think you're trying to wade into the murky waters of players playing Irukandras.
Uh-huh. And it shows what a nice DM you are, that you are working with something that you consider makes your job harder, but you think is more fun for your PC.
I want to invest in you.
Yeah.
Frankly,
yeah.
Because the idea, while it's maybe not perfect yet, I feel like you, like you said, you're being courageous, you know?
Yeah.
Venturing into this uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's worth investing in.
I think we want to invest in you, but we also do want to send some stat blocks for flying clouds that can eat birds.
And maybe a stat block for an evil turkey that steals their gift of flight.
Oh, I love that.
And then becomes the big bad. And in order to get their flight back, they have to go after this evil turkey.
Yeah.
Let's think about this business for real. Are there the amount of footage that you could fly was very low. This seems kind of...
Remind me the numbers.
It was really bad in combat.
Yeah.
I know.
Like a DC 5 through 9, it's 5 feet. Mm-hmm. 10 through 14 is 10 feet.
Sometimes building in too many rolls in combat can be frustrating for the reason that if you're having to roll at the top of every single turn for something like... It can be fun once in a while, but if it's baked in, then suddenly you're like, fuck, I wasted my good roll on that, and I should have used it on attacking. You know, like,
I think rolling,
sometimes you can overroll.
I think rolling for 5 feet of movement versus 10 feet of movement is kind of arbitrary. I think if you're going to make flying something that you need like an athletics check for, you'd need to make it a go big or go home situation.
Ah.
Like, if you roll and you get it, then you...
So you're saying like one DC, and like you get it or you don't?
It's not necessarily solving the problem, because if the problem is this person flies and circumvents all of my challenges, then you're only giving them, you know, roll higher than a 10 and you circumvent the challenge. Like, that could easily still happen.
I still think that ultimately, like, I'm maybe not on board with nerfing the flying so much, but you also could just do one big roll at the top of every flight that's like Roll to find out the wind conditions, and that's how right. hard
that
it's going to be.
More difficult. Not putting it on the actual character. Like, you actually don't know how to fly as well as you thought.
There's
stuff happening outside.
Yeah, so it's like, here's the wind condition, and either you're flying normal or you're inhibited.
Yeah, and that shit happens to birds all the time. You look up in the air, you just see them like floating there in a storm. Can't do shit.
And those birds will kick your ass.
Every time you see a bird in a tree, they're waiting out the wind.
Yeah. If the bird's hiding in a tree, you could probably kick its ass. If the bird's just staying level in a storm, mm-hmm. that bird's a badass.
Yeah. They're doing resistance training.
It rhymes that bird. For a reason, because it is a truth.
They should not be able to hover like that.
Does this work for anybody's eggs? Do we have any?
I'm keeping my eggs in my nest.
I think this is a situation where I look forward to see what you come up with next, because I think you're a great hatchling entrepreneur that's coming up. I think the research just isn't quite there yet. The science isn't there yet. Yeah. But I think you're going to have a breakthrough.
I think I want to hire them for the think tank, which is the tank next to ours.
Right. Whoa,
that's perfect.
So we have no eggs for you, or at least I don't. Caldwell or Jake, do you want to?
I'm going to salary them.
Okay. Yeah, so no eggs, but cash. Right. Let's do structured annual bonuses, free parking, health care.
Yeah. We'll have our guys send over the final paperwork.
Can I have this too?
Yeah, sure. Everyone gets it.
Everyone gets it.
There's no parking spots outside of the tank where we live currently, but we are going to be building one. We're going to be installing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting rid of a really gorgeous forest to put up the parking lot.
They paved paradise, folks.
I mean, that's just one way we get rid of birds.
Thank you for the idea. All right. Our next hatchling is named Toe. And Toe writes, great cohort of torts, including the venerated and judicious curator. Thank you.
Wow.
In days past, the tank has discussed the sacredness of the Nat 20 in all its flaws, and I echo that sentiment. But I also know several torts still feel a hollowness in the Nat 20 on initiative. People are still trying to solve it.
Everyone's bringing this up always, and I never get it. It's so good to go first.
Let's see if Toe...
I feel like I'm in D&D court listening to an Eric Cochra.
Let's see if Toe can get beyond just gaslighting.
You take your robe off, okay? Take your robe off. It's put your shell on.
Yeah, get your shell on and jump
get
in the water.
Get your shell on.
My shell's on.
Come on in. The water's mild.
Yeah.
Come in. It's only a little filmy.
It's highly salinated.
Filter's not working. All right, so they still miss the extra bit of mustard that makes a Nat 20 a Nat 20. I humbly come before you today with a simple solution. On a Nat 20 initiative, a character could take one part of their action economy twice. Not a full turn, but perhaps an extra dash, the no chortle tortle.
I'm shaking my head.
An extra dash or taking the dodge action in addition to attacking. For this homebrew, I only ask for a single egg, but I want your second favorite one.
Second favorite.
Oh. So the real lumpy one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is a little too powerful. I hate to say it.
When I heard this at first, I wasn't chortling. I was shaking my head because me and Em have gotten into it over and over again about the Nat 20s on
being initiative. Being a waste in initiative.
Yeah. Our marriage is really strained.
Our marriage is on the rocks.
It should be on the eggs, but it's on the rocks.
It's on the rocks.
You should come out drinking with me sometime.
Over by the pool. We'll talk about the initiative Nat 20s and the strain it's put on our relationship. No, but I heard that, and then I was like, you know what? A good tweak would be to do something like on a Nat 20, no matter what, you go first. Unless someone else got a Nat 20. So if you have like a +1 to dex or something, it still lets you go first.
I think most DMs would make that call in the room.
Yeah, I mean, it's not on like paper.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then I was like, okay, what's another thing? Maybe it's something with damage. Maybe you get advantage on your first attack or something.
Mm-hmm.
This just feels a little arbitrary. I get that it's better, that it just kind of gives you an action surge.
Yeah.
But it's just... It's kind of arbitrary.
It doesn't really feel arbitrary to me, as it maybe feels like a little more powerful than I'm looking for. It's like, I just want that little boost.
Mm-hmm.
I want a little good job.
To me, it seems like what they're saying is basically people get disadvantage on attacking you. They were like just suggesting that you get like an automatic dodge action.
They said that's one of the things you can do.
Right. Right. Yeah. You can use some piece of your action economy twice. It's your choice.
Okay.
It's almost like you get half a surprise round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I guess you could argue that that's not arbitrary. The idea being that like if you're ready the fastest, you might have a split second to...
to yeah no
I think right. that, like, I think the question is like, what do you do with that extra time? You got the jump on everybody.
To me, it doesn't make sense that it's like I got there first, so everyone has disadvantage on attacks even though they're going after me. But it does make sense to be like, I got here first, I will have advantage on my first attack.
What if you could give somebody the help action if you crit on initiative? Like, you get to do your thing first, and like, you got the jump, so like, you can actually be a support to somebody.
Position someone else.
So you get there, you see the battlefield, and you can put one thing into play. I like that too. Like, I like it when it makes sense.
I think adding that you can do anything twice, or like any part of your action economy twice, adds a level of complication that takes away the purity of the nat 20.
Yeah.
Because you roll it, and then instead of just being like, here, you've got this solid thing, it's you get to go first no matter what, or you get to help somebody, or you get to, even if it was just you get to take the dodge action,
right?
That would be different than being like, you can do anything twice, because then you roll a nat 20 and you're like, wait, okay, so I kind of have an action surge, but not really. I'm going to,
yeah,
I guess
I'm just picturing everybody else pulling out their phone and tuning out while this is decided.
Yeah, because you're never prepped to do. I mean, no one's ever going to be upset by getting to do stuff twice, but there is going to be a level of like, sick, now I need to think about everything.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just going first. It's actually, if anything, you get the jump, you go first, but then you have to take a second and be like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
I think that what you really want to do is you want to print up a series of coins. When someone rolls a 20 on initiative, you just give them one of those coins. And when they ask,
are you
going to
talk about
for?
Fucking flipping coins again?
I saw that sleeve of DVDs you brought in.
Pay no attention to the jingle in my pocket. And then you just decide way later what the coins do, and you just don't have to worry about it until then.
So that's my idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate that, honestly. I think that sounds fun. Although you are putting a burden on your players to remember to bring their coins every session.
Yeah, well, you gotta put that in the text though. It's like, hey guys, remember to bring your coins. This might be the session.
I think that's a kind of fun idea. You could even do it with buttons.
Buttons.
You got a bunch of those lying around.
You're gonna want to spray paint.
Like, you just crit? Right, hang on to that. And they don't really know what it is.
And also, every shirt comes with extra buttons.
Right. If you had
and
a
you've
bunch
been
of
people, looking for something to do with them, because you're just the kind of person who doesn't lose buttons from your shirt.
Yeah, totally.
Which must be nice to be you, but go on, yeah. You're gonna want to spray paint the buttons gold so they do look shiny and nice.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like this could be done with anything.
I kind of like them just being street buttons. Unvarnished street buttons. Oh, you got a nat 20? Here's an unvarnished street button. All right. It's got a little bit of thread in it still.
Keep track of this.
Good things are coming your way, my friend.
Before you start the next session, does everyone have their buttons?
Still doesn't come into still play.
I'm going to do a quick button check. Rolls the dice. Okay, interesting.
When you like, give me an insight check. How many buttons do you have? Okay, yeah. No. I can't say why that matters yet, but interesting.
You're going to need to figure this out before the end of the campaign, but like, yeah, you got like months. It's fine. You'll figure something out.
And the bigger a deal you make of it, the more disappointing it's going to be when all they can do is summon a button monster.
I love it. I don't remember the original idea, but I'm investing in buttons.
Where you can cash in your buttons in the final boss fight to summon a button
final
monster.
Boss, the final boss, guess what? It's Coraline's mom.
Whoa!
Yeah.
You're welcome. We wrote your campaign for you by directing you to a movie someone else wrote.
Yeah. You're going to need to get clearance from Gaiman, but other than that, you're good to go.
Yeah. would anyone like in on this idea?
I think there's this, it's similar to the first one. There's something there. We see a lot of submissions for this, so I know that it's a problem that needs to be addressed.
I'm bumped on this being a problem that needs to be addressed.
All right, button your button your gobbler, my friend.
Button your gobbler.
Whether or not you approve, there is a market for it. There's a market.
And I think, here's the thing, there's a market for it, and there's a lot of different ideas out there. I think it behooves us to collect all the ideas so that we can properly distribute them.
Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a land grab, so I am in.
Okay.
I'll invest my second favorite egg.
Yeah, I'm buttoning my gobbler and unbuttoning my wallet and putting Clancy, my second favorite egg, into
the love
pile.
A coin purse with a bunch of buttons.
Hang on.
Let me just quickly. Oh,
so many.
Oh, no. I lost a button on my coin purse.
So wait, are we
I'm ruined?
Are you in or just me and Caldwell gonna roll for it?
Just you two.
Okay. We need
we need dice. We
take this so suddenly I'm not supposed to close my gobbler, am I? Suddenly the guy who's sitting in front of all the dice.
We're in your house. Kinda,
here, Caldwell, we'll flip these buttons.
No, don't flip coins.
I think I do have a penny in my pocket, actually.
Of course you do.
Whoa, you just chucked it into a nat 20.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna. Wow. Did that really count for me?
That can't count for you.
Okay, fine. Here we go.
Yes!
Oh, fuck!
I got an 11.
I got a 10.
Wow. And actually, this idea is mine. I will add it to the horde. And this is very apropos for our next Hatchlings idea.
Oh, right. Okay, let's get right into it.
Mergem. The No-Turtle's Tortle is in a bad mood now. Uh-oh. You see he folds his arms and leans back.
Whoa. No bubbles escaping from his lips.
No bubbles escaping.
It looks really cute for all of the...
It looks really cute for all the fan artists out there.
Mergem K writes, "Hey, Tortles. Tired of only celebrating the highs and mourning the lows in D&D? Mm. It's time for mediocrity to shine."
Okay, I'm so in already. My eggs thrung with anticipation.
After rolling a 10 on a D20 in a pivotal moment decided by your DM, you are blessed with the gift / curse of mediocrity. Your next rolls are made with two dice, and you take the average score of both as your roll rounded down.
What?
That is, of course, a token from the ever-present god of mediocrity, who made sure a 10 on a death save is still a success. That lasts until the DMD
satisfied. I love this. Why are there new rolls?
You triggered the thing by rolling a 10. Why do you roll again twice?
This is excellent. I'm excited. Take my eggs off. Well,
Mergem says, "I'm open to workshopping the idea, and all I ask for is a shout-out to my cat, Ori, the best little demon." So shout out to Ori.
Shout out to Ori. Okay, so let's try this out.
We love to workshop.
Let's try this out. Let's pretend like I just got a 10, right?
Great. Okay.
And also, I love that you've built lore in that the gift of mediocrity, the 10 is a success on a death save. This is a gift from some mediocre deity.
Okay. The medium god.
So they come down and they give me...
What do you get?
I got a nat 20 and a 2.
Holy shit.
Okay, so that, I have to do, so like
you get the average
so
of those?
11.
Yeah.
An 11.
So you still pass?
Yeah. Do you realize how much the god of mediocrity just made a normal face at us?
You just
the
wait.
God of
it
mediocrity
only happened for
just
a,
gave us like a shoulder a
does
shoulder
it only happen
pat
for a
with
death
a hay
save?
Bud.
Yeah, a gaze.
Yeah, does it only happen for death saves or is it for whenever the DM decides?
After rolling a 10 on a D20 in a pivotal moment decided by your DM, you're blessed with the gift slash
curse. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's like instead of it's like let's say that you have this like this really like intense thing and you're like you just get this 10 and it becomes a 13 and your DM is like what do we do with this, you know? Then it's like okay, actually the god of mediocrity,
what'd you get?
A 13 and a 10.
Whoa.
Okay, so like rounded down
11. Yeah, 11 again.
Okay. The god keeps on gazing.
13 and a 6.
What, stop making us do math. 9.
Wow. All right, so it really works.
Okay.
It works for what?
Okay. I have to say, in practice, it is mathematically delivering expected but unexciting results, but I still like it.
I'll tell you what. So they say it's decided by your DM once you roll that 10.
And I like that.
And then it says your next rolls are made with two dice, but maybe not all of your rolls going forward. Maybe the god of mediocrity chooses another moment.
I think what is interesting about this idea is just a god of mediocrity.
Yeah.
That is a very funny character. Mm-hmm. Just a sort of neutral god that's just like, all things balance in the end.
I'm picturing a god that you have to fight that like can just like turn your roll into a 10 or something like that.
I think that maybe instead of it being when you roll a 10, you just have this god of mediocrity that can let you roll two die and average it at specific times. If it's like a pivotal thing,
but is it
and
ever
like,
good? Is it ever good to average?
So far, it has only delivered me if you roll 11 and lower.
It can be. There are definitely situations where, like, let's say you guys are above like a fissure and a cliff or something. And it's like hard one's an athlete. Just don't roll a 1 or a 2.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
to jump across it, the god of mediocrity can make it way very unlikely.
So if you need to not critically fail, you can be like, all I need is a C, right?
Like, can I pray to this god and do a religion check? And then you have kind of a funny voice. And
I think that I'm going to go back to a previous bit of advice from you, Murph, which is put it in a ring.
Put
that thing in a ring or some sort of like holy symbol.
Put it in a ring.
Slap it on a ring. Or like, I guess in this case, maybe not a ring, but
be
like
a braided belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it on a braided belt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Slightly out of style, but like, you know, but it really holds your pants up.
Yeah. So does anyone want this as is? Because they did say that they were open to kind of workshopping.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think I make an impassioned plea to go in on this with you, and we're going to make the god of mediocrity a great character that's going to bless your players with mediocrity.
Yeah, and I give you kind of the middling, mediocre version of that. Like, hey, come on, let's do it. I think it'll be pretty fun.
Yeah.
And that's right in line with the god of mediocrity.
You see, walking from a parking lot, the god of mediocrity, and it gives you kind of a half-hearted nod.
Should we all roll for it and do the medium roll?
Yeah,
that's
great.
Okay, so we all need two d20s.
I just got a 20 and a 2 twice. Again.
Okay, so...
But I've also been rolling a bunch of times.
Okay, I got a 9 and a 19. Jesus Christ.
Well, that's good, though. That's good.
That's going to average out to 14.
Okay. And I got a... three, and I got 2 threes.
Okay, that's Ooh. Nothing. That's
a three. Averages 2 or 3.
10 and 13, so a 6, I believe.
A 10 and a 13?
Oh, no, sorry, 10 and a 3, my bad.
Okay, that's not the median at all.
Nope.
I looked at you waiting for like the smile of a joke.
No, the tank just needs cleaning. I'm running out of oxygen.
All right, so we're going in on this together.
The filter is seriously clogged.
There's an algae bloom in here, gang.
We're going to bless some people with mediocrity.
All right.
That's right.
I'm in.
Do we give them our most medium egg?
They just wanted a shout out for Ori the cat.
So. Oh, great.
Hi,
wow.
Ori.
Hi, Ori.
Hi, Ori.
All right. Our hatchling Alec P. writes, Turtles, have you ever looked up at the heavenly shafts of light bursting through puffy clouds and wished you could ride them off into the sky? What would it feel like to move as though you were sunlight?
This I can is show all you. A mushroom trip right now. Like, yeah, I've looked up and I've seen those beams of the,
we've all wanted
of
to
the
grab
cathedral
shaft.
That you only see when you're on psychedelics.
Yeah. I want to become light. They write, I can give you that feeling for the low, low price of 30,000 eggs.
Okay.
Introducing the Hyper Light Cannon, a spyglass unlike any you've ever peered through before.
Okay.
Simply look through it at where you want to go, and one bonus action later, kashaw, you're there.
Kashaw?
Kashaw. Want to take some friends with you? Just hold hands like a bunch of eager theater kids, beautiful. And off you all go.
Wow.
Now, mind you, the technology is not perfect. For one, the spyglass doesn't teleport with you. Nothing that can't be solved with the magic of careful logistics. Just make sure you don't drop it in combat where a baddie can pick it up and use it. Also, when you're teleporting long distances, there's always the chance for a mishap. You're going to need to roll high on your perception check, or you might find yourself dozens of feet above where you were hoping to go. The specifics are up to your DM. And remember, never, never use it to look at the moon.
Okay, so it's... Okay. It's basically a telescope that teleports you to whatever you're seeing.
To what you see.
To where you're looking. And it does not come with you.
I like it when we get items in the tank.
This is a cool item, and I'm trying to figure out if...
This is an item that we're going to someday hear about in D&D court by someone's like, I gave them this fucking spyglass, and now every single fight, they use it to send a bad guy to the moon.
The hyper light cannon is pretty
solid.
It's a very good
name. Yeah, it's solid. It's also nice, the fact that you drop it...
Mm-hmm.
It means that you got to be close enough that you can come back for it. Mm-hmm, so it's great for like breaking in places.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because then you could just, you know, if you're looking at
it'd
like
be
a
completely
fort
broken
water in the
if
woods,
you could just go take it with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to.
And then if you go so far away and you drop it, then you have to travel back to get it.
Yeah, I mean, that sets up.
Or just like, it's a one time use.
So it can save your life once, essentially.
Yeah, I feel like that sets it up for like a very cool moment. It's like we need to get across this like fucking lava filled ravine or something. And that's what you do. Everyone holds hands and you lose it forever.
I do like that this started out as a drug dealer and ended up being like some sort of traveling salesman.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, how would Emily use this to fuck me?
I would send your bad guys to the moon.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's just all you got to do is like trick one bad guy.
Well, it doesn't seem like you can do that. It seems like you need to hold hands and be like on the same side.
Right.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Maybe it would need some sort of like willing creature.
Yeah, well, I think you add willing creature
willing
to it.
Willing creature.
Right.
You put the telescope on a stand and you have a little sign next to it that says free show and like a little winky face.
Yeah, I think you can trick people with it.
I think it seems fun also like because it's like I just picture ending a session with them being like, okay, we need to go to this castle on the mountain.
Yeah.
Let's use our spyglass. And they look through and the fact that there's a little bit of Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Rocket Money. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about? Streaming services, lapsed free trials, charges lurking in the dregs of your bank account, taking your money without you realizing it. I personally play World of Warcraft around the holidays and I always forget to cancel and they end up squeezing a couple extra months out of me. Well, that's where Rocket Money comes in. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's rocketmoney.com/PAWPAW. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Raycon. You all know me. I am always on the go, and you know what I love to bring with me wherever I go? It's my Raycon Everyday Earbuds, folks. Raycon offers amazing quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. Don't believe me? Well, how about their tens of thousands of five-star reviews? Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. That is correct. I use mine at the gym, and I can tell you what, they stay put, folks. My Raycons come with me everywhere, and with 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life, I don't have to worry about whether they're up for the task. They've also got three customizable sound profiles, earbud tap functions, and noise isolation. So go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. That is buyraycon, RAYCON.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Stability to it, yeah. It means that you don't know where they're going to land, right? You find out at the end of the session, you do like whatever that perception roll is or something to figure out where you're going to land, and then you land them there and then you can plan your next session from there. So I kind of like that that level of chance in there.
And it's super fun too.
It's really fun. And if your players are completely fucking you up with it, you can always decide to steal it later. Because the fact that they're leaving
it behind.
Very
stealable. Right.
What I would do is I would give it to the barbarian, shoot him up into the sky, and then have him go into a rage and land on people for a bunch of damage.
That's fucking sick. This is pretty sick. It could be broken. I'm trying to think how it's broken right now.
It's like broken, but it fixes itself as it breaks.
It has to be creatures, right? So you're not just like putting boulders into it.
Yeah,
and
I think you need
cannon,
that.
Right?
The thing that Em was saying everyone willing needs
willing
to
creature.
Want it, a willing creature.
Right. You couldn't like make a cow look through it and shoot the cow into the air and use it as like a cow.
Unless
cannon.
The cow wanted to go.
Yeah. It's true. And maybe the cow wants to go to the moon.
All you have to do is catch speak with animals and you'll fucking find out if the cow wants to go to the moon.
Do you wish to fly, friend?
Yeah, this is solid. I think I'm in for
30,000.
I also love it when people come up with items that are magical but aren't necessarily an obvious solution to a very specific problem. Like this is just kind of like, what if this weird ass technology existed? And I'm like, what if?
Yeah.
It's really good, like just lore and thinking through like the lore of your world to be like, I don't know, like some weird goblin scientist made this telescope that kind of works.
Yeah.
Do you want it?
He was trying to make a light cannon and instead invented teleportation.
I fucking love just more spyglasses being around. Yeah. Also,
certainly.
Having a spyglass is a fun thing for you.
It's also funny thinking of like looking into someone's window to try and get in somewhere, but then if you roll poorly with a perception, you just like teleport, smash through the window or to the side of the window, to the side of the house.
Yeah, the opportunity for splatting is very high.
Right, yeah, the non-exact nature of it. Like, the further you look, too, the less exact you're
going to
be.
As a DM, you are probably going to get to narrate somebody slamming into a window and slowly going,
it's worth, frankly, it's worth more than 30,000 eggs to me. Yeah.
I also, that also, like, I mean, okay, look, you had me when you described something that sounded like a mushroom trip. And then when you ended it with that bold claim, I was like, I respect this.
Right. Do you want to see God, friend? Well, do I have the telescope for you?
Should we all roll with the God of Mediocrity see?
Wow, I like that.
I think we're in a bidding war right now. Oh. Did you get an 8 and a 9, M?
I got a 9 and a 3.
Oh.
4 and an 18.
I got an 11 and a 19.
So an 11 for me.
Oh, you're going to win, Jake.
Yeah.
You won.
Yeah.
That's 5, 15.
All right. That's all yours.
Amazing. I really, really wanted it.
It's a sick idea.
I give a weak handshake to the God of Mediocrity.
Thanks for the compliments, guys. Yeah. I own it now, so it's kind of like my idea. Pretty neat.
What a fucking vulture you are.
All right. Our next hatchling, their
I'm
name
just
is
picturing
Wyatt.
Jake starting like a hyper tunnel, but like with the hyper light, what is it called? The hyper light?
Oh, hyper light cannon? Yeah.
Yeah, with the hyper light cannon, but it just works once.
That's cool.
So you can get to Vegas so quick with this thing.
I'm just going to use it for transportation.
Yeah.
We're going to mass produce this thing, take all the joy out of it.
Not right. Public transport either. Yeah, it's going to be easy pass.
You got to go private. All right. Our hatchling, Wile, writes, well, hello, Torts. Your shells are looking very refined today.
Thank you so much. I just got it pierced.
The shell.
I think that's why the water is so red. Yeah. I think that's what's causing the filter to back up.
Yeah.
I'd like to present to you the Fate Weaver's thread.
Ooh, another yummy item.
I'm into it already.
This small golden string gives a player the opportunity to trick destiny itself at great personal risk. While it is in their inventory, a player can attempt to lie to the DM about the results of a dice roll, the wording of an ability, or anything else they can think of. If the DM doesn't
you tread on a dangerous road, friend.
If the DM doesn't suspect anything,
so stupid.
By the time the lie takes hold, it works. If the DM suspects you're lying and calls you out, however, you must admit your crime to the table. Their character immediately takes necrotic damage equal to half their max HP that can't be recovered until a long rest and suffers a level of exhaustion as punishment for trying to lie.
Okay.
No matter the outcome, the thread vanishes into thin air after use.
Okay, so it's a one-time use.
Turts, I'm seeking a full set of moon-soaked dice from the windowsill in exchange for the one-time chance to gaslight God. I eagerly await your offers.
I love that pitch.
A chance to gaslight God. That's well written. You can't say it's not well written.
It's gorgeously written.
Here's a inherent flaw in it, is that the DM would have to put it in your game.
Right.
So I would just assume you were lying literally every time you did
it. It does
something.
Sow distrust. It's true.
Yeah.
Right. There's no penalty for the DM saying, are you lying?
Yeah.
You're lying.
So I would just, every single time, I would just be like, yeah, because you're a fucking liar.
And if they are lying, then they take necrotic damage. But you just like can ask if they're lying all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which just seems annoying. Right. That just seems like an unpleasant thing.
So 22 to hit, for real?
It's are you also, serious? It's also like there are like big moments that I can conceive of a character's story, it being fun to try to cheat destiny, but I can also see a lot of it not feeling fun.
I wonder if this is like, I don't know. I think that by tweaking it, you make it much more of a vanilla item if it's like, you can like overturn one death save or something like that. But I do wonder if there's something like that where like you are lying and the DM is in on it, but you are still lying and like maybe there's a consequence down the line for that. Maybe you're lying to someone in game. I think like the DM,
I mean, yeah, maybe you do a deception a deception check or something.
I just don't think I've ever seen like lies do
like real life
like
lives.
Good like yeah real life lives be fun at the table.
That's what I worry about. However, I'm
you're
into,
sowing discord.
I love the idea though, because like obviously like the strands of fate, the weavers of fate, like the three fates, this is giving me the three fates and destiny being personified feels like a very fun world. And the a thread of fate like overturning like yeah. the will of destiny.
I think right. I feel like all yeah. the flavor around it is so cool. It's very but at funny. Its heart it's is really like funny. You're just telling a lie to somebody. Yeah. Like I don't even understand what the fate the,
and the moment the is really funny, fate. But you could just see how it could become cumbersome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. And like yeah. I can't even play a game of werewolf because I'm so bad at lying. I'm like just having this know, burden so weighing on me and like trying to lie to Murph. Just it sounds like such a bad time. I cast I smite for 48 damage.
Do you yeah. really? This is a weird thing, but maybe it is something like the DM knows you have it, so it will be a public thing when you do it.
Uh-huh.
And it is like you can choose to try to lie, and then you have to do some sort of deception check. We all know it's going to happen. It's going to be uh-huh. publicly happening, and it's less you lying to the DM, even though that is very funny, and more your character lying to
right.
lying in the world.
Almost like a oh. trickster god.
Yeah.
It being like you have this string of destiny. You can almost will yourself to have done something by lying about it.
It's almost mm-hmm. like a like luck like, roll or something yeah. like that. But like you get to make a deception check.
You do a deception check to like say that you succeeded to do something.
Yeah.
Like you're a rogue. You've got some trickster god that's helping you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You go to try to sneak attack somebody. You miss. Mm-hmm. You go, no, I did hit.
What's the good outcome?
Well, I think
because as it's written, it is if your lie works... Then your lie works,
so if you,
and you got away with your
so
lie.
So then you got to get away with a lie.
Yeah, okay. yeah but yeah. in the bad circumstance, you still take necrotic damage. I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I think
it's more interesting for the role play aspect, right? Because then mm-hmm. you're someone who cheated destiny, and that feels like a really fun thing for. To make a lying character more tricky
yeah.
and evasive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this works better, I think, as a cooperative item than as
totally.
Being an actual lying.
And Emily, you brought up a good point, which is that there are three fates. So you could have like one yeah. who's like pulling the thread, one who's making
one
the thread,
who's
one who's
the thread.
Snipping the thread. Yeah. You could have Ooh. Three different tools here that do yeah. different things.
And
you
can,
really want.
You can use it more too if you make it not about just lying at your table.
yeah.
If it was a deception check, you can make it something that recharges every day or uh-huh. something.
I'm out on this.
I think I'm
it's,
out.
It's stirring yeah. the tank for me, and I'm not interested.
I just can never see myself using it as is. Although I kind of like... I like the modification we made.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would go in on our idea.
I like the lore to it, and I like the idea of it's like a luck point that you have to roll for, and if you fail that roll, you take pretty bad consequences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But really, I just kind of like it narratively.
Yeah.
So
Emily,
I'm
shall
in.
We see which way fate goes?
Are we
still doing mediocre?
Yeah, we're doing
mediocre rolls.
That's a nat 20, so.
And what? What else?
And what? A 9?
It's a 29. I got a okay. 4 and a 19. That was my best mediocre roll
yes!
yet, and I still lost.
The yeah. god of mediocrity.
The god of mediocrity hates me.
Wow.
It's because I'm so anyone. Excellent.
The thread
or,
belongs.
Or terrible.
Thread belongs to Caldwell.
I collect all of my buttons, and I tie them together with a thread.
Now the in-game unfolds! Stick
now,
it in your gobbler.
Everyone, I need to know how many buttons you have. That's how many hit points your button monster has.
What?
That's yes, right.
That's
7.
Right.
That's right.
You
Coraline's freaking
20.
Mom is here, and she's on your side.
You as level 20 characters have summoned a 7 hit point monster.
You stand up, there's no button on your pants.
Hey, I'm made of pants.
All right, so one final idea from our hatchling, Jean-Philippe H. Mm. They write, "Hey there, turtles. I'm here once again to ask Ooh. The centaurs for turtle eggs." Interesting.
Okay.
"I present to you my homebrew rolling AC. Waiting for your turn to come can be pretty boring. Now you have something to do."
This is, you're just going to distract everyone and not paying attention to the rest of your party.
When you get attacked,
oh watch God. Your friends. Enjoy the things your friends do.
Be with be the people a, you're with.
Be a friend.
Now you can stop scrolling TikTok while you're waiting for your turn.
Oh my God.
"When you get attacked, you can roll a dexterity check to dodge or a stealth check to block instead of having a static AC, with armor acting as a modifier on your roll. This makes the fight more dynamic and encourages roleplay, as you can dodge the wrong way and get hit by an attack that should have missed or be overpowered when trying to block. A nat 20 on a dodge lets you move 5 feet in any direction, and on a block, it lets you use your reaction to get an attack of opportunity on your attacker. I ask for enough eggs to make myself an egg sandwich for lunch."
I like your attitude. Just, I like your moxie. That's for sure.
Yeah. We're banging on the same drum here. Like, make this a ring or something. If you really want, like, some sort of special shield that can do this, I think this is a special shield.
It feels like an ability that if everyone has it, the battlefield is chaos. Yeah.
But there's a kernel of, like, you know what? I think there's a kernel of a good idea here.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. Like rolling a dex thing to see if your AC goes up.
It should just be a reaction ability that you can do sometimes. Because there's, like, parrying. A lot of monsters have it where they can use your reaction to add, like, 3... sometimes up to 6 to their AC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
it a reaction, put it in a ring.
Put it in. Hey, button your gobbler and put it in a ring.
Do they have a sentient shield?
Put a ring on it.
There are like floating shields.
I had an animated shield or something like that. It was some kind of shield that could float around so that I could have a two-handed weapon.
Sweet. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But maybe I came up with it first. I'm not sure who came up with it first. Me or D&D.
You're talking more of like a sentient shield that's like, which way are we going, boss?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And like, and so they roll. Voice, yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, you activate your scary parry. Mm-hmm. And the shield's name is, of course, Parry.
Yes, Parry the shield.
Parry the shield.
Yeah.
We're onto something here. Parry the shield. And like, Parry has their own dex.
Scary Parry.
Scary Parry.
Because Parry is afraid of getting hit. So
yeah. Oh, no, swords.
Yeah.
Parry, I'm out.
Okay.
I destroy my eggs.
Another Tanner Hurwitz venture.
Jake does not look happy about that.
Welcome aboard.
You guys,
brother.
He knows you guys are ruined.
It's really ought to be her with Tanner, sir.
I think if this were just a reaction, I like the idea of getting to roll on not your turn.
What about a fighting style?
Yes.
I like it as a fighting style.
I think
you can
100%.
Take a reaction to do like a sleight of hand to block.
Yeah.
Stealth, I didn't totally understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think fighting style is cool. It seems almost like a monkish ability or something.
Yeah.
What's the name of that little dagger? Because like when you're a duelist and you get like one big sword and one tiny dagger, I can't remember what it's called. But like
short sword.
No, it's like there's a specific dueling style where you have like your rapier and then you have like a little dagger that you use basically for like deflecting blows.
Right.
And it feels like that. It's like dueling, but like advanced dueling or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds sick.
Yeah. Or it could be, I'm like trying to think because I know that both protection and interception use your reaction to use your reaction to cause disadvantage on only one attack, unfortunately. And interception, interception is bad. It's also uses your reaction, so I think you kind of have to nerf it, unfortunately, to make it a fighting style that didn't just outclass all the other fighting styles. In my dream, you get as a reaction just do a check and that will say what you can raise or lower your AC by.
That's cool. Let's live in your dream.
It's called a main gosh, by the way, just so that nobody comments on that.
A main gosh?
Main gosh. Like G-A-U-C-H-E.
All the main gosh heads out there were typing furiously.
There were a couple.
It almost sounds like another name for like your crush or something. Like, I like him so much. He's like my main gosh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we are rapier and gosh.
My main gosh. Sign someone's yearbook, though. You've always been my main gosh.
You deflect the blows of all of my enemies.
I think interesting idea, but it's going to end up being too much rolling. And it also kind of goes against the god of mediocrity because you're going to have like wild successes and failures. You're going to be getting hit.
A lot,
I think. It's going to be way less consistent than an AC of 16 or 17.
Yeah.
And we have all filled out a very long form to pledge ourselves to the god of mediocrity.
Can I see right now, without mediocrity, if I would get more or less AC? 13. We don't know what that means.
Yeah. It depends on your modifier to the thing you're using.
I guess, what's Callie's dexterity? That's pretty good. So you probably get like a really good AC boost, yeah?
It'd be like 17 or 18. It'd be around the same.
Yeah. So there you go. It works. Yeah.
Is anyone feeling this idea? Does this work for anybody's eggs?
Yeah, I'm into this whole land grab thing. I'm trying to just do accumulation.
You get lost in the tank.
Yeah.
You get lost in the tank.
I'll roll for it.
Okay, you're rolling for it.
15 and an 8.
We've all been doing the god of mediocrity rolls.
So yeah, 23. What is it? Where it's half that.
It's,
than
it's 11.
11. Yeah. Okay.
Every time I have to like do the averaging in my head, it does feel like I'm like splitting my brain in half.
The god of mediocrity is actually torture, I think.
Yeah.
Is that just having to do averages? That
they're bullying
often?
Us. Yeah.
Did Jake even need to roll?
No,
anyone
no.
else want this idea?
I mean, I'm sticking with Scary Perry, so like I'm set.
Okay. Yeah, we're going into a shield business.
Cool. Well, as long as there's no other offers, I will lowball you for this. You can have half an egg.
Wow.
That's the
half
egg? You're, that's the egg sandwich that you're
is
getting.
It cooked or no. runny?
It is slender. And it was the egg that was clogging the filter.
Great. At least our water is going to be a little clearer.
Yeah,
now.
I was going to say, it was getting a little
and
murky.
And all
in
my
here.
Piercing blood can run clean.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll have some more, we'll be hearing from some more hatchlings over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. We'll be back next week with another episode and a short rest after that. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
We've got two things.
Two things
to plug.
Okay.
I like it.
One's a personal plug.
Okay.
East Rock Botanicals, Brother Sister Beard Oil is back.
Great.
We're on hiatus. It's back. The website's live, so you can get beard oil again, finally. And then a group plug. Mm-hmm. We just announced 3 new shows.
Wow.
Atlanta, Nashville, and Denver.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Denver's coming up.
So, yeah, Denver's coming up in October. All of those tickets are live right now at nadpod.com/live.
Come see us in Nashville. It's my hometown show.
Yeah. Oh, wait,
and if this is coming out Thursday, I think you need the artist presale code, which is PAWPAW.
That's right, yeah.
PAWPAW.
So go ahead and enter that in.
That's right. Yeah, you can get them before anybody else.
And we apologize if you paused to feverishly go buy tickets and didn't know that yet.
Yeah,
but you can do it now.
So yeah, come to Nashville and make my dad proud.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your hometown show.
Wow. Hometown show.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn out.
Should we all wear outfits for it?
Yeah. No, we should all dress up in our Sunday best.
What kind of outfit would make your dad the most proud?
Yeah,
should we all wear varsity Letterman jackets?
Well, Caldwell hangs out with a lot of athletes.
Right.
It's great. Yeah,
you were a football player, right?
Yeah, I have been lying to him and saying that I'm the kicker for the Tennessee Titans.
You're not?
I think I'm not, pass for a Titan.
Okay, yeah. So you're all going to need to pretend that you are members of my football team.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been having to doctor a lot of footage of the games.
Yeah. It's a full-time job all the time.
I would also love to plug our P.O. box, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Get yourself a po' boy and enjoy these po' boxes.
Nice.
Here we go. I've got some nice notes to shout out this time around. Let's see. Caroline W. sent us a nice drawing for Emily. Also, I will say, we really enjoyed Dallas. Thank you for having us, Caroline.
Yeah, indeed.
Dallas
you.
Is great.
Rachel and Emily sent us a save the date for their wedding in Denver. Whoa, we're going to be in Denver soon.
Yeah. I'll be at the wedding.
Congrats, you two. We're going to be there for the live show. If you're there, we'll congratulate you in person. Hope you had a nice wedding.
I might show up at the wedding and object casually.
Yes, we are allowed to do that by right when you send us save the date.
I'm going to go to the wedding and romance your aunts and uncles.
And I will be dressed as a Tennessee Titan.
I'll kick your wedding drink.
I will also be dressed
just
as a
just a hard,
Tennessee
sidelined,
Titan.
Poorly kicked punt.
Oh my God.
During the ceremony.
Gave a Gatorade bath to their grandfather.
We're just going to be tackling cousins the entire time.
Kirk Cousins.
Roxanne sent us a lovely letter and a picture of their Boston Terrier Gully, so named because he honks like a seagull. I would definitely pay money to see that.
Cute.
Shout out to Gully. Keep on honking, bud.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Sydney at AKA at Call Me Yingling sent us a Sharpie drawing of the duck team as well as a drawing of Murph as a rat. It's
must
perfect. I love it. I will never show it to Murph.
I'm a rat.
Alana G sent us a letter specifically praising Jake. It even includes a Photoshop of Jake's head on Ben Affleck mid-Duncan drop.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's a great gift for Jake. He needs it.
Thank
shout out
you.
To Jake.
Yeah, been asking for it for a while.
AJ wrote us a very sweet note and wanted to shout out his fiance Nancy's work. Specifically, he wanted Emily to check out her work, but I'm telling everyone to do it. Go to at nancy.art.music on Insta. Aww. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, you're on your phone anyway, probably. You're listening to the show. Just tab on over. We got a graduation announcement for Mackenzie O. Congrats, Mackenzie, and good luck at Purdue. And then one last one. V sent us a note saying they've listened to One Big Bed over 100 times on Spotify and are planning on getting some of the lyrics as a tattoo.
Ooh. Ooh. That's awesome. awesome. Mm-hmm.
Music made flesh. How does that make you feel?
Wow. Do it on your forehead, across your forehead.
If you're a big fan, you'll do it on your face.
Dedication has a price.
Just do it like very tiny on your cheeks as freckles. The entire song, all the words.
Oh, that's
I like
nice.
That. Yeah,
you could do it as notes on freckles.
That's really good. And that's like a moonshine cosplay as well. So that's good.
Sweet guys.
I'm just kidding. Thank you. That's very sweet.
You could follow us on social media that we may or may not use at @SuitMersMe, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Extra's Emily, and at Your Gertz is Jake. And you could tweet about the show using #NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means I need to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Daniel G., Dylan B., who is selling a glad trading card for 100 brown leaves. Live from New York, it's Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Michael McD., Vincent W., Mr. Cole, Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Dominic P., Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM the Gnome Barbarian, Treylay the Cray, Jared E., Christopher B., Daniel R., Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Jerry, Master of the Guy Horn, Richard X Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Thaddeator, Le Gladiator, Samuel B., Mike H., Matthew E., Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G., Tyler F., Faust the Feisty, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, nope, sorry, just Andrew the Druid here, Adrian the Halfling Bardificer, Calder's Other Helm, which is possessed by the spirit of El Che Guevara, Captain Sigil, Diana DL, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Lucas B., Ryko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Cum, # Rise My Comrades, Spread the Cum Rottery, KDW, Taylor B., The Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Steven C., Mike K., Lady Taco, Brian G., Joy T., Nara, K., Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Agniti, who's not above bragging about having tickets for both the NY Show and Margarita Mayhem, Foster the Boneless Duck, Arin the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Glad Roselle the White Rose of Galateron, Christian A, J Dragonborn, Joe Rowe the Inapropro, Liam D, The Sandrian, Ben A, Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Rebecca G, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's Assistant Issy F, The Time Walker, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C, Kelsey J, Porkchop, Misa of House and Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Chris S, the Purveyor of the Ultimate Blend of Butterfinger BBs and the Vervain Elixir, Selena N, aka Valet Sea Raptor, B Perky Always, Pat L, Akchutha A, Lauren H, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, Annie M, the Crochet Crafty Queen, the Charming Fluff, Robot CRSP, Telekitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, asking for a request. I'm going to say let's do last week Callie and Foster hyping each other up. Ploops, Carly A, Addy K, Wesley TA, random NPC with a funny voice, AP Cleric, Lori P, Murph the Nerf Mascot, Grant L, Connor S, Christopher J. Pebblepot, to the Dew Riders, my first D&D party, may all our adventures be wondrous, thank you for being my friends. Salil, Leviathan, Biocourt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T, Jack H, Strong Caldwell Conspiracy Theorist, Fandere says at TH Murph, who's a nasty little pee-pee boy, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi featuring Murph's laugh after Caldwell called Shane's murderer a jerk, Champ Wild, Valin, Beep, Carlin C, Stan the Dragon Man, holder of too many bags, Emily S, Cody and Tiara P, Pendergreen's roommates, Harry Cox, Noah the Bagel of All Things, Justin L, Tori, Levi L, Pendergreen's Pungent Pudding, #CCC, #Slangandrope, Owen T, Mrs. Bunny, Marcos P, Jordan P, the occasional crit reporter, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M,
Pago, self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Fritz, Andy E., Dina S., Holly Hyena, Kristen Z., the I Will Use What You Love Against You DM, Leah C., Paige H., Helen of Briz, May B., Pixel Stars, Akash T., Kristen with a K., Cal, Just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N., Russell H., a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time. Neos, the novice monster hunter, our strangely familiar new friend, Simon. We all had a shared dream. He insisted we sing Artemis and Parzival by Gunship. Patrick, Lorelei F., Mike, the adorkable bike, Morgan M., a peeling sticker, Stephen E., Coral, Sydney and Andrew L., John Adams, yes, like the president, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F., Captain Cappy, M4L, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Stormbjorn, Andrew B., Cope Fresh, Barbo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer, Emeritus of Waterdeep, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Eric M., Mr. D., Mr. Sillyhead, Ethan B., Monster Captain Renee S., Hop the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money and a grand novel off of the Duck Team's tales, Blue Shade the Artificer, Michaela R., Riley S., Sir Sig 93, Fico, Angry Wheat, The Game Itself, Just Trying to Find Himself, Tony G., Thrath, Corbos, Calamitous, Cumshot, Hashtag CCC Forever, Sorry Jake, Josh H., Jack the Jacks, Jinxing Rogue in Search of Bahumia's Biggest Balls, A Horse Killed by Hard One, Mango Empanadas, Temidar, yes, I'm the twin brother of Demidar, no, I'm not proud of it, Rented Mules, Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine Turner, Caleb L., Obi-Quan, Simone Birdlife M., Calder's Caustic Cum, Jay Wonder, a sentient Myconade going door-to-door handing out religious pamphlets, Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie wearing barbarian with a bad back, Papa Wookie, MJ, the BFG drinking tea by the sea, Camden L, Ducky, Samantha K, A Big Squid, Cronus Maximus, Gino T, Squid Minty, Alden F, and finally Crichton McN. And that's it for this week. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all of our listeners, all of our Patreon subscribers, and of course our benevolent Council of Elders. You can listen to our after show over on the Patreon, patreon.com/NADPOD. That's NADDPOD. We'll see you all next time.